Hello and welcome to Gilead. My name is Soren Hotchire. I'm the comms and admin Haas here, and thank you so much for joining us. This past January 28th, 2024, was our first start of our shorty series, Gray Areas. We are talking about nuance, we are talking about the in-between of the typical black and white thinking, and we're thinking about what else are we missing when we're talking about the multitudes that we're made of. Vince Amlin was preaching, and he was talking about judgment and our place in it, and when do we feel justified, and how are we supposed to feel? So he articulates his point way better than I do, so please stick around and keep listening.
And I would love to believe that my story about the beach was error-free. I would love to have done it perfectly. I hate making mistakes. But it turns out I hate even more not being corrected. Because I want to get it correct, everything correct all the time. And it's like, it doesn't even matter to her. I want to be right, and not just right, but the most right, more right, for instance, than Susie. Because what could be more important than being correct? The other option is being incorrect. Who would want that? And I'm not alone. I was gonna write, I don't think I'm alone, but that's bullshit. I know I'm not alone. We live in a moment of wanting to be right, of fighting to be right on everything all the time, trying to keep up on what's right, and not just right, but the most right. And I'm thinking in this moment specifically of progressives, of radicals, of people working for positive change in our world and our country, good people like me. People who will tear your throat out if they find an error in what you say. People who will take you out at the knees if your takes on the Barbie Oscar snubs are not sufficiently extreme. People who will find your errors and not be afraid to point them out. Not so much to prove that you are wrong, but to prove that they are more right. That I am even more right. Because I do want to be right. I work hard to be right. I am extremely careful to be correct in everything I say. Or sometimes, if I fear I can't be entirely correct, might not be the most correct, I just stay silent. But only long enough, only so much that my silence can't be construed as wrongness. I want to be right. Of course I do. Being right matters. And if there's a way to be more right, then of course I want to be that. Because if someone is more right than you are basically wrong, and who would want to be wrong? The Pharisees are right, basically like all the time in the Bible. But I'm thinking specifically of a story in the Gospel of John about a woman brought to Jesus by an angry group of men, Pharisees and scribes. And they tell Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. And the law of Moses says she must be stoned. So what should we do? And they had the stones in their hands and the woman at the center of their circle. And the story says they were asking this just to test Jesus, to see if he'd get the answer right. They're spoiling for a fight, for an argument, because the Pharisees are right and they know it. They're sure of it. They've checked their work and it's flawless, muy buen trabajo. They want to test Jesus, and irritatingly, he refuses to comply. He doesn't answer their questions. He doesn't argue their points. He just bends down and draws in the sand. We don't know what, but most scholars think it was a dick. One of the jokes I cut this morning. You can see it doesn't really lead anywhere. Jesus draws in the sand, and when they try to start the argument again, he still doesn't respond to what they've said. He just tells them, let the one without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, they shuffle off until Jesus and the woman are left alone. And here's what you'll hear if you listen to a progressive sermon on this passage, including several I have preached, or if you read a progressive Bible commentary like the one I read this week. You'll hear all the reasons why Jesus did what he did. How, for instance, like Mosaic law demands a witness for someone to be condemned. And while the Pharisees say they caught her in the act, they never present a witness. So Jesus has found an error in their work. Or how Mosaic law says that both partners should be condemned to death, and the man is not part of this story, and so since he isn't in the circle, Jesus is like making a feminist move here. Or they'll point out that the story says that they were only trying to test him, so they weren't really trying to carry out justice. They were just trying to entrap him, and that's why he did what he did. All of which totally misses the point of this story. Jesus refuses to argue with the Pharisees, so the preachers and commentators decide to do it for him, to point out all the ways that the Pharisees were wrong, or all the ways they could have been more right. Because I'm sure that that must be what this story is about. They point out all the errors, and they figure that Jesus was just like too polite to correct them. But the point of this story is that Jesus isn't interested in arguing with the Pharisees. Jesus doesn't give a shit whether they are right or not. He takes them at their word. She's guilty. They have a witness. The law says she must die, that they'll kill her partner as well, that they're doing it all for the right reasons. He doesn't argue any of it. He doesn't question that their judgment is entirely correct. He only questions their fitness for carrying it out. Only that they're the people qualified to deliver the sentence. And if the story ended there, you could still say it's a story about being right, about being the most right, or enough right. Jesus could be saying that if the Pharisees were just a little more right themselves, then they'd be free to let those stones fly. Which, incidentally, is also what progressive preachers are saying when they make those arguments on Jesus' behalf, that if the Pharisees had just crossed their T's and dotted their I's, we would be well within our rights. If the story ended there. But it doesn't. It ends with Jesus and the woman alone. It ends with Jesus, the one who is without sin. The one who is entirely correct, whose judgment is beyond suspicion, the most right one, qualified to carry out the sentence. And not just qualified, but obligated, duty-bound. The Pharisees are correct. This is the law, the rule, the right thing to do. And when they're alone, Jesus turns to the woman and says, "Has no one condemned you?" And she says, "No one." And he tells her, "Neither do I condemn you." It's the law. It's the rule. It's the right thing to do. And Jesus chooses to be wrong. Ruby Turpin is right. She's the main character in this Flannery O'Connor story, Revelation. And she's right. She's certain of it. Most of the action of the story happens in a doctor's waiting room in which Ruby refers to the people around her by monikers like the white trash woman, the ugly girl, not to their faces exactly, but like in her mind and her attitude. Because Ruby, like most people who are right, is a judgmental asshole. Sure that she's better than everyone else. And she's not alone. The other people in the waiting room are just as sure, just as right. The white trash woman looks down on Ruby for raising pigs because they stink, and the ugly girl, in a fit of anger, seethes at Ruby, "Go back to hell where you came from, you old warthog." And part of the magic of that story is that as Ruby is looking down on others, you or me as the reader, I'm looking down on her, thinking how wrong she is, how ignorant, how judgmental, how deserving of some comeuppance. But that's not how the story goes. That's not how it ends. It ends instead with a vision of Ruby ascending to heaven. She and her people are at the back of the line. All the people she judged marching up before them. But finally her time comes, the turn for all of those that she considered good and decent and right, the only people in the whole heavenly chorus, she points out, who are singing on key. As she watches, that whole procession goes through, ascends through this cleansing fire, burning off their sin, burning off all their wrongness. But what Ruby also sees is that when those good, right, decent people pass through the fire, their virtue is also burned up. With all their sin goes all their rightness. Everything they got correct. They don't need it where they're going. God isn't interested in it. God isn't interested in my rightness. God cares fuck all for my rightness. All the things I work so hard to get correct, God could be correct. God is correct in every circumstance. God could be good, is good. Perfectly. God could judge justly, does judge with complete justice. God could condemn us, would be entirely in their rights to do so. God could be entirely right, and God chooses to be wrong. God could be right, and God chooses to be love. To welcome us, each of us, the ones we think are good and the ones we think are trash. God welcomes us. The ones singing on key and the ones who can't carry a tune, God welcomes us and tells us, buen trabajo, mi amor, muy buen trabajo. And I have a sneaking suspicion it's a lie, or at least not the entire truth. I also suspect that God is trying to encourage us, to keep us going, and to remind us there are worse things than being wrong. And there is something better than being right. Yeah.